Here's Frank and Jim.
Well, not exactly Frank and Jim tonight. It's Jim and Michael tonight. Welcome to Who's Talking. This is Jim Hobgood alongside Michael Tusky. Frank Maloney on a little business trip down to North Carolina on behalf of one of our good sponsors, C&F Bank. I was teasing him today. He's really on a covert operation down there trying to sneak into Cameron and the Dean Dome, getting a little inside information on Roy and Mike Krzyzewski's private workouts in advance of the ACC basketball season. But at any rate, we're glad that you have joined us. Tonight we'll take a look certainly at the Southern Mississippi disappointing loss. We'll preview the Idaho game. But otherwise, we got a jam-packed show tonight, and Michael's going to tell you exactly who we got coming up here.
Well, Jim, I'm glad to hear Frank's on a little business vacation. I was worried he might have jumped off a bridge following the game on Saturday, but that's great news.
That was a tough loss.
Yes, sir. Anyway, well, this is Michael Tusky, and we have an exciting show lined up for tonight. First, we'll be joined by former UVA defensive star John Copper. Be interesting to get his take on the current defensive situation up in Charlottesville. Next, we'll be joined by Chris Wright, the executive editor of TheSaber.com, which is a proud media sponsor of and partner of Who's Talking. We've also got Dr. David Nediff of Ortho Virginia to provide an injury report, and Dave Glenn of the ACC Sports Journal to update us on what's happening up and down the Eastern Seaboard. There are several ways to follow our show.
Indeed. Who's Talking is streaming live on SportsRadio910.com and TheSaber.com. We encourage everyone to send questions and comments via Facebook or call in to 804-345-0910. All shows are archived on TheSaber.com. We encourage our fans to go to our Facebook page, just search Who's Talking, and become a fan. Your questions and comments are always welcome because we do have such a jam-packed show tonight. We're going to go immediately to John Copper. As Michael said, he was on the Virginia team recently from 2005 to 2008. So he probably has a number of guys that are still on the roster that are friends of his, and he really follows the team very closely. So we're anxious to get his feedback on exactly what's going on. John, are you on with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, we first of all, thank you for joining us tonight. Just thought maybe we would start by getting your assessment. We're four games in. By my math, that's a third of the way through the season. So how would you assess the team and its performance to date?
Well, I would say we haven't really overachieved or underachieved. I think we're playing better than we were last year, which is good. And I think also there's some improvements to be made here going out for the rest of the season that I'm pretty confident the guys will. So,
what was your feeling specifically about the game on Saturday against Southern Mississippi?
I thought we didn't play great, especially in the turnover category. I thought other than that, and maybe a couple special teams plays, I thought overall we had a solid performance. But those big plays and a couple special teams deal outshine everything else in terms of their impact on the game. And still, that being the case, you know, we still had a shot to win it at the end. I think there's definitely some correctable things, and if those get corrected, I think we'll win a lot of games like that here in the future.
Hey, John, this is Michael. I was wondering if you're close with any of the older guys on the team, since you're not too far out. Maybe guys like Steve Greer, what do you think of them?
Whoops. I think we lost John. We'll get him back here momentarily, and Michael can readdress that question. Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of plays from that game on Saturday. The fake punt, I thought, was critical, even though it was early in the game, you know, just to start the second quarter. Virginia was up 13-7 and looked like they were going to get the ball back in pretty good field position. John, we got you back. I think, sorry about that, a little technical difficulty with the phone. Are we hooked up with you again?
Yeah,
okay. Michael Tusky was asking you a question. I'll let him repeat it.
I was wondering if you're not too far out, if you're close with any of the guys that are on the team, maybe the older guys like Steve Greer.
I am, yes. Actually, I spent a little time with Steve and his family after the game, and still keep in touch. Rob Randolph, the guy that I kind of keep in touch with a little bit as well. So yes, a few of the guys, yes.
Steve Greer. I was thinking about Steve Greer. John, Michael and I, when we lost you, talked a little bit about that the fake punt to start the second quarter. That's a key play on special teams. You know, I'm not a football guy, but I assume that was a blown assignment on somebody's part.
Yeah, you know, I did not see the replay of that particular play kind of closely. I mean, I saw the replay, but couldn't really tell what was going on there. I know from the press conference comments, or at least Anthony Poindexter's comments afterwards, I know he said he kind of played the odds and took a little gamble to get a better return there. So, you know, I don't know if it was schematic or if somebody kind of didn't quite hold up to what they were. It was, you know, my hunch would be it would be a little bit of both, but, you know, I mean, you got to give hats off to their team for running something like that. I mean, that's a play that you typically wouldn't see at that field position.
Now, I would assume that that's one of those deals where the punter, if he sees the opportunity, he can just take off, which is exactly what he did.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think when I was playing, it would have been back in the 2006 season, I believe, Wyoming at home. They did something very similar. I mean, it was fourth and I don't know how long, and they were on their 20 or 25 yard line coming out. And it was just an automatic. If they saw a certain look, they were going to run it, and they converted a fourth and decent yardage punt backed up in their own territory. So yeah, it would probably be something similar where if they saw it, they're going to run with it, kind of an automatic call before the game even starts.
Well, speaking of back in your playing days, understandably you were under a different regime up there in Charlottesville, but what are your impressions of Coach London and his staff and the culture and the program they're working hard to build?
I've been very impressed. I've told a lot of folks that I'm not Craig Littlepage, but if I was, I probably would have hired Coach London. And I think a lot of him. I think a lot of what he's doing. I think he's doing a real good job recruiting. I think he's got a real positive energy on the team. And, you know, anytime, you know, you take over a program like that that's had a couple of losing years in a row, I mean, it's going to take, a good 3 or 4 years to kind of get things solidified where you as a coach kind of have your philosophies and energies and cultures on the team. And I think he's got things moving in the right direction there.
John, you're not too far removed from being a player. The team has Idaho this weekend. That's a game that they're favored to win and hopefully will. And then they have an off week. So five games into the season, seven to play. Is this good timing to have an off week?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I think any time you have an off week, unless it's right at the very start of the season or maybe right at the very end of the season, I think it's a good time. I mean, just the hits, the total of hits that you take on during the course of 5 weeks stacked on top of camps and scrimmages in camps, I mean, it takes a toll. And, I think guys will, after hopefully a good game this week, will be able to rest up a little bit and come back out and have a strong middle of the season there.
Going into the Idaho game, last I saw we were favored by 17 points. Mentally, how do the players stay grounded and focused before a game where you're favored by, you know, double digits?
Well, you know, I know when I was a player coming off a loss, you don't think too much about that. You know, it's kind of, you know that the week before you didn't perform as you thought you should, and you want to come out that next week and kind of prove yourself over again. So, if it was a thing where we were sitting at, 4-5-0 and going into a game that we were heavily favored, I think that's a different mindset. But when you come off a loss, a game that I think I think the players would say that they feel like they should have won and had the talent to win and just didn't execute, I think when you're coming off a game like that, that really doesn't play a factor in terms of whether you're favored or not.
You know, not to create controversy, but, of course, Michael Rocco has the rib injury, and I heard he's likely going to play some this weekend. But David Watford came into the game and certainly led the team down the field on that one drive that put Virginia back in the game. Do we have a little bit of a quarterback controversy, or is it still Rocco's the man?
Yeah, you know, when I was playing, I didn't get into any of those things at all. But now that I'm not playing, I was impressed with the way Watford played. I've been impressed with the way Rocco's played for the most part of the year. So I think we got two young, talented guys that could each go out there and perform. I think Coach London already said that as long as Rocco's healthy, he'll get the nod. I think giving Wofford a shot, if they're going to continue this rotation where he comes into the game – He seemed to kind of hit his stride around the second or third series he was in a row this last week. So I think maybe if they're going to continue kind of a rotation, just from my vantage point, kind of as a spectator now, I think giving him maybe a couple series in a row might allow him to get a little bit of a rhythm and contribute a little more than what he has in those first few games.
John, before we let you go, update the fans and our listeners as to what you're doing now.
Yeah, I work in nutrition full-time. I'm actually home base in Salem, Virginia. My website is rejuvenationhealth.com. It's rejuvenationhealth.com. And through that, I'm able to actually work with folks all around the state. I do different speaking engagements, do wellness coaching, so help folks kind of see where they're at health-wise, put together some goals and a game plan to reach whatever goals that they have, and then just give them some ongoing kind of day-to-day rubber meets the road health advice as they go along with that. So rejuvenationhealth.com is the website if anybody's interested in checking that out.
Yeah, we encourage our fans to go to that, take a look at it. But, John, we appreciate your taking a few minutes to join us tonight. We'll certainly have you back again in the future and wish you the very best.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jim. Thanks again for having me on.
No problem. All right, John. Copper, former Virginia player, recently finished in 2008. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, we will have the editor of the Saber, Chris Wright, join us. All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood here alongside Michael Tusky. Frank Maloney, I think, on his way home from a business trip down in North Carolina, and obviously he'll be back with us next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead right now and introduce our next guest, Chris Wright. He's the editor of the Saber, website that our fans are very familiar with. I think the Saber's been up and running, I think, since like 96.
96, I believe.
We are a media partner of them. They've been around a lot longer than Who's Talking, but we appreciate their support, and they archive our segments, and you can get the show live through thesaber.com. And of course, Chris also is the women's basketball coach of Western Albemarle High School, in addition to his Saber responsibilities. So we'll have Chris with us momentarily. Chris, do we got you on the line?
Yeah, I'm with you. How are you?
Great. I think Michael Tusky was going to get you to preview the Idaho game. Go ahead, Michael.
Yep. Tell us what you're thinking, Chris.
Yeah, no, this looks like a week where Virginia should be favored pretty heavily. Idaho's 1-3 out of the WAC conference. Now, that's a little bit deceptive. Coach London made that point today. They have played people like Texas A&M. So playing a top 10 team usually doesn't do good things for your record. So I think it's a little bit deceptive in terms of the fact that they're 1-3, but Virginia should have more speed. They should have more depth. Idaho's pretty big up front, it seems like, in terms of the linemen, but I think Virginia's speed should negate that. So it looks like a good week for Virginia to get a win.
Yeah, and they need a win, particularly coming off the last couple of weeks where they certainly were very competitive but didn't get the W, which is the most important thing. You may not know this either. Michael and I were talking before we went on air. Is this a game where Virginia has to return this game at some point in time in the future, or do you know?
Coach London said today that, as far as he knows, it is not a return game. So I think this is what they call a payout game. In other words, you pay them and they show up.
Well,
that's the way the world works today.
Sounds like a good deal to me, whatever. All right, what do you know about the quarterback situation? We've heard that Michael Rocco is going to play. Is he going to start, or do we not know that yet?
Yeah, Coach London's playing it close to the vest. They want to see how his injury progresses throughout the week. My gut instinct, though, just kind of reading between the lines and what he said all the way back to Saturday, is that Rocco will start. I mean, if he's anywhere near healthy enough, they'll start him. And then if he looks kind of shaky health-wise, then they can go with Watford versus throwing him in as a starter.
All right, another question. Everyone's shaking their heads this week. What's up with the defense? I mean, there's a good bit of experience out there.
They're getting better, and I know that's hard to see right now, but they are getting better. The biggest thing that's killing them right now, and it sounds like a broken record, are big plays. You know, the one that everyone's fretting about, of course, is giving up a first down on 3rd and 23 when you're trying to get your offense the ball back, and all it was a screen pass. So some of the issues that they had trouble with throughout this first year and a half with Coach London and Coach Reed are still creeping up at times, but they are getting better. So the kind of things you want to keep an eye on are, you know, like pursuit angles on the screen play. A couple guys came upfield way too aggressively for the situation. So I think you really need to keep an eye on, do guys pursue the football at the right angle, and how well do they tackle? That's something that's kind of been creeping up on Virginia a little bit too. So I think if they can get those two things straight, that may eliminate some of those big plays that are killing them. If you look back at Saturday against Southern Miss, it was something like 70 of 77 or something like that. Plays against Idaho were really good defensive plays, but the seven they gave up were huge. They either cost them a huge first down late or cost them touchdowns in the first half. So they've got to get that cleaned up.
Well, that screen play, that was a huge play in the game because I think there was about 2.5 minutes to go. If they stopped that play, I think the line of scrimmage was the 41-yard line of Southern Mississippi. So if they stop them at a marginal gain, you would think Virginia's going to get the ball back maybe around their own 20, 25-yard line after a punt. They got a couple of minutes to go. At that time, they still would have had 3 timeouts to go and would have only needed a field goal to tie rather than a touchdown to win the game. So was it really pursuit angles, maybe just some guys being a little too aggressive under those circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, I liken it to time and score in basketball. You know what I mean? Like, if you're down 3 with 3 minutes to go, you don't need to jack up a 3. Well, if you only need a stop of any kind, you don't try to get a tackle for loss. And a couple of guys on the defense came flying up to try to make the play in the backfield, which may make sense in the second quarter. But I think in that particular situation, they needed to flatten out their pursuit angles a little bit and just make sure you got him stopped, period, which is not something they did. So the biggest thing was what Coach London called setting the edge. That's a common football term to the folks that are familiar with the vocabulary of football, but basically somebody needs to turn the play back inside is what that means, and nobody did. So Lampley took off up the sidelines pretty easily there because no one made him turn back toward the middle of the field.
Talk a little bit about David Watford. We said that Rocco is likely to start if he's healthy enough, but certainly Watford on that drive that put Virginia back in the game with like 5 minutes to go was very impressive.
I was a little bit surprised, to be honest with you. I've been one of the people that has said he's not ready to be the full-time quarterback. He's not ready to take the majority of the snaps and that he's not really pushing Rocco for major time yet. But after watching that drive, you start to wonder, is he turning the corner? You know what I mean? Is he starting to figure things out in terms of reads and things like that? He does have some accuracy issues still where he's a little bit off on passes, either behind guys or too low or what have you. But he's looking better. I never would have imagined after watching the spring game and how he looked then that he could be contributing at all now, much less on a key touchdown drive in Saturday's game.
All right, well, whoever's the quarterback, whether it's Watford or Rocco, can we still get to 6? Where are those W's?
That's the million-dollar question this week, right?
Yes, sir.
You thought they had to go 3-1 out of conference to really set themselves up nicely to try to make a run at a bowl game. Now they're looking at 2-2 out of conference if they can beat Idaho. So, they'll still be 3-1. People were thinking 4-0. They needed to go at least 3-1. So they still have a chance to do that. The other win, probably, and this is a toss-up, but you're looking at Duke, NC State, Miami, and the Navy, Georgia Tech, although the way they're playing right now, I would not really count on that one. So I would say Miami, Duke, NC State are
Maryland
the best chances
in there?
For more wins. You could throw Maryland in there. That would be the other one in terms of the 4 or 5 most likely games they could win in the ACC.
Yeah, because Maryland they looked really good in that first game against Miami. Of course, Miami was a little depleted at that time, but then they get hammered pretty good by a Temple team that
at home.
At College Park. Now, you have to give Al Golden credit. He certainly did not leave Temple with the cupboard bare. It looks like that Temple team, because they gave Penn State a real good game too. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops. But I guess in coach speak, you take them one at a time.
Yeah, got to beat Idaho first, right? If you don't beat Idaho, you're really struggling to find somewhere else on the schedule where you can get some wins.
Well, Chris, we got to have you back soon and start talking some hoops before long. I know I'm excited. I know you are about the prospects for Tony Bennett and his group this year, and we need to talk about the Western Albemarle women's team, too, of which you're the coach. At any rate, as always, we appreciate all the support we get from you and the Sabre, and we thank you for taking a few minutes to join us tonight.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you. Chris Wright, the editor of the Sabre, joining us tonight. We're going to go to break, and we expect to have Dr. David Nediff after the break to join us and talk a little injury report. Stay with us.